If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would find two passages of Scripture, one's very simple, one's a little bit more difficult. If you would find Genesis chapter number 5, Genesis chapter number 5, and if you would also find the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, Genesis chapter number 5, just put a piece of paper in it, Genesis chapter 5. We'll come back there in just a moment. We're going to read Genesis chapter number 11, or Hebrews, thank you, I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 11, Genesis chapter 5. In your bulletin today, I forgot to make mention, you should have received one of these little brochures. They're entitled, You're Invited. There should be some more on the back table back there. We had these printed. This is an opportunity for you to put them in your pocket, vehicle, or your purse. And when you want to invite somebody to church, then you can just hand them one of these. Inside is the gospel. On the back, there's an invitation. There's a picture of, well, me, and a picture of our church. And if you want to put somebody else's picture there, feel free, whatever. But hand it out. And there's some on the back table. We have more in the office. But I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for something to leave somebody to invite them. And this is a great tool that we had printed for you to use. And so you make yourself available to that. They took a survey of children. I love surveys. I don't know if you're kind of a survey person, but I love surveys. They took a survey of children and asked them to compile a list of the most often heard phrases from their dad. And I thought, boy, that intrigued me right off the bat, because I had a dad who used all kinds of phrases. And so they went to them, and I've got them in front of me, and I'd like to read you some of the phrases that are most often said by a father to his children. Some of these you're going to be able to relate to. All of these you're going to be able to relate to. Number one, I'm not just talking to hear my jaws flap. You just ate. It'll be good for you, boy. Sit back and buckle up. Not another word. I had to walk 5 miles to school, 5 miles home, uphill both ways. Don't touch each other. You know, there are starving people in Africa. You should eat that. Were you born in a barn? Don't you look at me like that. I'll give you something to cry about. Ask your mother. All men say that. That drives me nuts. You want to live to see your next birthday, boy? If you pick at it, it won't heal. I constantly tell my kids that. Sometimes you can get so riled up, you say things that don't even make sense. Say, Pastor, I'd never say anything that doesn't make sense. What about shut your mouth and eat? Hurry up. Don't run. This is my favorite. Don't be smart. I spend thousands of dollars on Christian education. Don't be smart. Crazy. Heard about the boys that were bragging about their dads. You know, my dad's bigger, my dad's this and this and that. One boy said, yeah, that's nothing. You heard about them Rocky Mountains? Boy said, yeah, I've heard about the Rocky Mountains. He said, my dad built those Rocky Mountains. Little boy said, that's nothing. He said, you heard about the Dead Sea? Boy said, yeah. He said, my dad killed it. Somebody said, description of a father is one who has pictures in his wallet where money used to be. That's the truth. I've gone away from carrying pictures. Now I don't carry anything. All kinds of little quibs about fathers that you can find that are great. I know this. I grew up with a godly dad, and I'm very thankful. If you did, there ought to be a good amen. It's priceless to have a dad. Truth be told, it's priceless to have a dad, period. But it's even that much more priceless to have a dad in a home that knows God. It's a great fact. Sometimes I thought my dad was going to send me to meet my God early, but I enjoyed him. I called my dad right before Sunday school this morning about 9 o'clock. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm getting ready to preach. I said, so am I. He said, you got any good jokes? I said, I got a couple. He said, I got a couple too. Let me share them with you. So for about 15 minutes, we shared jokes one with another. Finally, he said, you know what? I better get back to the Bible. I said, I guess I agree with that. You know, fathers in boys' eyes are heroes. I ran into Zach Thomas the other day in a restaurant. Plays football, you know, for the Dolphins. And he walked in behind, and I knew who he was, and Tommy was there. And We were going to soccer practice, and he was dressed in a soccer gear, and I think Zach had just had surgery, and he was holding his arm out, and I knew he'd come to this church. I knew he knew Pastor Lehman, so I turned around, introduced myself, and told him about Pastor Lehman, invited him to church, and talked with him a little moment. And when we left, walking out the door, Tommy said, "Who is that, Dad?" And I said, "Well, that's a football player." He said, "Oh, a football player." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Is he strong?" I said, "Yeah, boy, he's real strong." He said, "Is he stronger than you?" I said, "I could beat him with one hand tied behind my back." He said, then the Spirit of God convicted me. I said, "Yeah, son." I said, he's stronger than your daddy. I said, "He could crush your daddy if he wanted to." And I could see that all that pride that had built up in him, I just deflated with those words. I thought, man, I'm a weakling. So we were walking out of the through the parking lot, and my four-year-old boy turned to me and he said, "Dad," he said, "that's okay. Jesus is stronger than he is." And I thought, "That's right, brother. Amen. I feel much better." But I want to speak on the subject today. And really, the message is for everybody, and we're going to highlight a little bit our fathers, but I'm preaching a message today entitled, "Have You Seen Enoch?" Have you seen Enoch? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, him being God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Have you seen Enoch? Would you go to Genesis chapter 5? Place something there in Hebrews chapter 11. We'll come back and forth between the two. But I want you to go to Genesis chapter 5. We're going to begin our lesson here, our message, and we'll move forward. Enoch, the Bible says, God translated him. What does that mean, Pastor? That means that Enoch is one of the men in the Bible who did not see death. It means that he was walking along with God, and the Bible says God took him. He does not know what it is like to experience his last breath. He does not know what it's like to experience going into a coffin. He has no idea what it would be like to experience passing through the portal of death, because the Bible said that Enoch walked on this earth. He walked with God, and God took him. He just was not. It was so remarkable that Hebrews chapter 11, it says that he was found not. Now, if he was not found, that means they were searching for him. We understand what it is to miss somebody. And so Enoch all of a sudden disappeared from the face of the earth. And people walked around and said, "Have you seen Enoch?" Interesting. Nobody could find him. God took him. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that he was missed because he had a testimony that he pleased God. You know, I've stood at many funerals and said good things about somebody laying in front of here. Sometimes I got asked a little bit of forgiveness after the service because I stretched the truth to the absolute maximum, but I found something good to say about him. And we all come to funerals and after the person's life, and we can say, "Well, I remember this about him," or "I remember this about him," and say all these good things. But for Enoch, they said it while he was alive. He pleased God, and God took him. And so I ask you today, and entitled my message, "Have you seen Enoch?" And you say, "Preacher, why would I even care if I've seen Enoch?" Enoch walked with God. Genesis chapter number 5. Would you please go to verse number 18? Genesis chapter 5, verse number 18. "And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch." To that I say, you got to be kidding me. 162 years old, and he fathers a child. "And Jared lived, after he begat Enoch, 800 years, and begat sons and daughters all 800 years. That's remarkable. "And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah." If you would look at verse number 23, the Bible says, "And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, a little bit of background before we get into our message that you've got to understand here in the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis. It is really the family tree of Seth. And what you understand is there's been the fall, and mankind has moved. And if you would begin to read the first few verses of chapter number 6, you will see that evil was continually upon the earth in verse number 5. And man's wickedness is getting more and more exposed, and it's becoming consuming. And when man sinned in the garden, you know that death passed upon all men. And death entered into mankind. You say, preacher, was man born to die? Only one man was ever born to die. Only one man was ever born to die. Every other man was born to live. You see, we will die, but we were not created or born that way. When man was created by God, man was to live eternally. But when sin came in, then that which man was to live eternally, death came in, and we had to be redeemed from that death. So one man, praise God, the God man came and was born to die. And God's people said, amen. And so here you go. If you were to look in chapter number 5, 8 times the death bell tolls. And I don't know if you've ever heard a death bell. It's a somber ringing to your very bones. Boom. Boom! I mean, the death bell tolls 8 times. If you look at verse number 5, I'll skim through them real quick with you. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Verse number 8, Seth, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Verse number 11, Enos were 905 years, and he died. Verse number 14, Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. 20, and all the days of Jared were 960 and 2 years, and he died. 27, all the days of Methuselah were 960 and 9 years, and he died. Verse 31, and all the days of Lamech were 770 and 7 years, and he died. Now what you got to understand is death has been introduced into mankind, and it is happening to one man after another man after another man after another man, and there's no escape from death, and it rings like a toll on every man. But Moses, when he writes the book of Genesis, inserts into this passage a glimpse of grace. And it's a marvelous glimpse of grace. It's a communication of hope. It is a banner cheer that there is rescue from death. One can live forever. You say, how do you mean that, preacher? I'll say this. Enoch walked with God. Now he's 365 years, but he's in the prime of his life. Most people are living to be 900 years at that time. He's one-third. He's 30 years old in our vernacular. He's in the prime of his life, walks with God, and God comes down. God intervenes on the death process. God grabs him, and God translates him, and God says, I want you to know something. Death is ruling and reigning now, but there's escape from eternal death, and it is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. My God, it communicates great hope. And so inside of this chapter, there's nestled for us Enoch. And it's to bring us hope. People say, well, there's not a lot in the Bible about Enoch. That's because we don't read the Bible, so we don't know what's in there. But there's a whole lot about Enoch. But he's a picture of great hope. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. 1 Timothy chapter 1 says the Lord Jesus is our hope. By the way, in this passage right here, Enoch is a picture of the church. You say, Pastor, I don't understand. Listen to the Bible. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, referring to death, but we shall be all changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. What does that mean, Pastor? That means there will be a day in the history of mankind, and they will remember it in the books, and they will go back to it, where God's people, born by the Spirit of God, will walk this earth, and the sky will open, the eastern sky, and the shout will come, and the trump will blow, and just like Enoch, the church will be raptured, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. If you're ready for that, amen, hallelujah. You see, if the Lord Jesus tarries and doesn't come back, I will die. But oh, when they lay my body in that ground, don't let it be said of Tom Hunter, he's dead. I'll be more alive then than I've ever been in my life. And if I don't pass through death's door and the Lord Jesus comes to get me, I will know what it would be like with Enoch, where I walk with God and God took him. So he's a marvelous man. Do you know he's only one of two men who said he walked with God? It's interesting. He didn't walk before God, and he didn't walk after God. He walked with God. The other man being Noah. Do you know he's only one of two men who did not die? The other man being Elijah. The chariot of fire comes down, takes him out. Did you know that he's only one of two men who has written that he pleased God? The only other man that it's ever written about that he pleased God is the God man, Jesus Christ. God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He's a marvelous man, and he has a fantastic Father's Day message. And so here's the text, verse number 22, Genesis chapter 5. And Enoch walked with God. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. You say, Pastor, what is the big deal about walking with God? I know God, and I'm doing fine, and I have some of these things, but what is the big deal? Why are you so hyped up on the word walked with God? You have to go all the way to the back of the Old Testament. Don't turn there. Just listen. I'll give you the reference. You check it later. To the little minor prophets, and there's a man there named Micah. In Micah chapter 6, verse number 8, the Spirit of God moves upon Micah, and he writes one of the most fantastic leading verses in the Scripture. Listen to what he writes. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that it is for every man that knows God. Micah says that God has showed us that it's required of thee, and it's good for us that we walk with him. And so I want to look at Enoch's walk. I want you to see the commencement of this walk. I want you to see the character of this walk. And then if I got time, we'll look at the culmination of this walk. Genesis chapter 5, verse number 22. And Enoch walked with God when? After he begat Methuselah. You know, every walk needs a beginning. We used to say, before you learn to walk, you gotta learn to crawl. My little baby Allie's learning to crawl now, and we put her down, and she just motors to whatever she can fit in her mouth. And if she can fit it in her mouth, that's where she's going, and we gotta dig things out of there. Nobody learns to walk without crawling. Every walk begins with a first step. There's a commencement to a walk. Now, here's where you need to be very careful in your understanding and give me good attention. Two births initiate this walk. Two births initiate this walk. The first birth is found in verse number 22. After he begat Methuselah. There's a physical birth. If you're a father here, you understand this. There comes into this man's life when he's 65 years old, a child. He heard the words, "Congratulations, you're going to be a dad." You remember hearing those words? He knows what it was like to wait for the birth of his son. Now, I kind of like it the way they used to do it. I don't like it the way they do it now. I would rather be in the waiting room than be in the room. Anybody in the waiting room, didn't allow you to go in the room when the baby was born? Come on, man, don't let her keep your hand down. We don't think of that. I could handle that. You heard about the guy who was in the waiting room, sweating drops of bullets and just all nervous, wringing his hands, walking back and forth, just couldn't hardly take it anymore, and the doctor stuck his head out and said, "It's a girl." He said, "Praise God, she'll never have to go through what I just went through." Something about the birth of this boy impacted Enoch, because it is said he walked with God after. There's no mention that he walked with God before. They say, well, we just assume that. Don't assume that. It's not written there. But into his life comes the birth of a son. And I remember when a child is born, it brings to your heart responsibility. It brings to you fear. It brings to you all these emotions. And you think, my God, what in the world did I do? Here's your baby. I didn't know how to hold the baby. And into Enoch's life is born a little boy. Now, God came to Enoch sometime while Methuselah was in the womb. You know, when that baby's in the womb over those 9 months, a man does a lot of thinking. A man does a lot of assessment. A man begins to think for the first time down the road. A man begins to think for the very first time, not about himself, but about his family. A lot of things happen when that kid's in the womb. And you watch that beautiful, lovely, gracious, kind wife that you married turn into a pregnant mother. Something happens. God came and he said, there's something special about this child. By the way, there's something special about every child born. Every child born is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. And so he comes and he says, I'm going to put my hand on this boy. And I want you to name him Methuselah. Methuselah lived 969 years. Do you know that Methuselah's name means when I die, it will come forth? When I die, it will come forth. Who names their child when I die, it will come forth? Well, God knowing that there was going to be a deluge, God knowing that there was going to be a flood, God knowing what he was going to do, said, Enoch, I'm going to give you a boy, and when the boy's born, I want his name to be like when I die, it's going to happen. Because when Methuselah dies, the flood will come. You measured. That's what happened. But inside the womb, there came this boy. Makes a man think. By the way, father, it ought to have done that to you. But there's a second birth that takes place in the commencement of this walk. And that is a spiritual birth. John chapter 3, the Bible says, you must be born again. You see, Enoch didn't just walk with God because Enoch could walk with God. Enoch had no ability to walk with God in his present condition. If you were again to visit those minor prophets and you were to again visit Amos chapter 3 and you were again to look at verse number 3, you would hear this question posed to you by the Spirit of God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? What are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to say this. That very question poses enmity. That very question poses opposition. Two people cannot walk together unless there's agreement. But what we got to understand is no man, woman, or child in this room was born in agreement with God. We were born depraved and with a sinful nature, and there was no agreement with God, so there was separation from God. There was no walking with God. There was only the love of God extended to me in the person of Jesus Christ, but I could not walk with God like Enoch did in and of my own ability. Something had to happen. There had to be an agreement. Oh, you know what I'm going to say. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus Christ spans the gap for agreement. And the gap that was between me and God was the sin gap. I was guilty of that sin. I am guilty of that. And I stood to deserve hell. But praise God, Jesus came, gave his life, spanned the gap. And when I receive him, I become a child of the King. There's reconciliation by the blood of God. I am redeemed. And now I'm in agreement with God. J. Amos said, how can two walk together? Lest they be agreed. What are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to say this. I believe the birth of Methuselah led to the salvation of Enoch. And my God, that's what we need today, isn't it? Men, fathers who know Jesus Christ. You want to be a great dad, a great husband? You want to walk with God? It begins with reconciliation to God. You see, we sometimes think, well, we can just begin to walk with God. Nobody just begins to walk with God. There must be birth into the family of God. There must be reconciliation there and agreement there. And then I can begin to walk with God. That was the commencement of his walk. I want you to notice, number two, the character of his walk. Look at verse number 22. The Bible says, and Enoch walked with God. The word walk there really carries with it the idea of lifestyle. It really carries with it the idea that it was not a one-time thing. It was a daily thing. It was a possession of who he was. It was the testimony of his life. It was the manner of his way. It was the character of his thoughts. It was a lifestyle for Enoch to walk with God. I think a bunch of things when I think about that walk. It implies friendship and things in common. You can't walk with somebody if you don't have things in common. I went with a walk with somebody a week ago. And the only thing that kept me in that walk was the fact that I loved that man, because we were speed walking and I was dying. But there was fellowship there, and there was communion there, and there was unity there, and the walk was of great encouragement. I think about that when we walk with God. I think a walk with God implies holiness. You see, if I'm going to walk with God, then I'm going to walk in the way of holiness. Did you know that the children of Israel, before God would even walk through the camp, everything which defiled had to be put away? You say, Pastor, do you believe in separation once a man gets saved? You know why I believe in that? Because I believe the Bible teaches it. Amen? Old things passed away, all things become what? New. He said, there should be a separation there from the wicked way. It implies holiness. It implies consistency. He didn't say that he ran with God. Didn't say he leaped. Didn't say he spurted. Didn't say he sprinted. It was a steady walk, the character of this walk. But I want you to see the second thing, the most important thing about this walk, the main characteristic of this walk is Hebrews chapter 11. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. I told you, keep your hand there. We'll go back to it. Verse number 5. It was a walk of faith. It was a walk of faith. Now, let me speak to all men. It's Father's Day, but this goes for all men. Men, we are to be the leaders in our home and the walkers of faith. What we have done is we have transitioned our responsibility to mom. We've transitioned our responsibility to the wife. And God said the man is the head of the home. He is the responsible one. He is the one that God holds responsible and desired. And today, for our children's sake, we need leadership in our homes. I ought to get an amen off of that if I got to sit down there and amen my own message. Problem we don't amen with that is because we don't practice it. We've turned the leadership of our homes to the women. It is the wife who has to get us to come to church. It's the wife who has to get us to put the tithe in the offering plate. It's the wife who has to get us to discipline our children. It's the mother who has to stand in the home for righteousness. And we have forgot, and we've turned that over, and we wonder why we're becoming homosexual. That's when you flip-flop the God-given, ordained responsibility of a husband and a wife and a father and a mother, and you flip that and the man subservience himself to the wife, who has no choice but to take over if there's no leadership, we will produce femininity. Did you know that the leading homosexuals in the nation are Jewish people? If you take per capita, you study it, I'm right. It's Jewish men and women who are Jewish men who are the most homosexual that you can find. Do you know why it is? Did you know that the Jewish military is trained by women? Did you know that their drill sergeants are women? Those boys answer to the mother in the home. You're judged whether you're Jewish or not by how you relate to your mother. They flip-flop that, and now they're getting that. In America, we flip-flop that, and now we're getting that. You say, Pastor, you're young, you're stupid, and you don't know what you're talking about. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. Yes, it is. And here is Enoch, and a child is born into his loins, and a child comes into his home, and he's so wrenched over that and so moved over the birth of his son that he falls on his face. He receives reconciliation to God. If you go to there's only one chapter in Jude, Jude 14 and 15, you will see that Enoch himself preached about the coming of the Lord Jesus. Enoch himself testifies of that. And so he's so moved, he falls on his face, he gets saved, and he begins to walk with God. And he took ownership and leadership there. And it was a walk of faith. Now, let me show you a couple things about this walk of faith. Look at verse number 5 and 6. You will see that it was a pleasing walk. It says that he pleased God. It was a revealing walk. You will see that he believed that God is, and that it's a rewarding walk. He believed that God was able to reward them that diligently seek him. What are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to say, if I'm going to walk with God, it's going to be commenced with the birth of my spiritual heart. I'll be born again. The characteristic of it is it will require faith in God. Faith in God. Men, we ought to be the leaders of faith. It ought to be the man who grabs his family and says, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I know God's going to make it happen. It ought to be the men who grab our sons and hug them and weep with them and pray with them and lead them. It ought to be the men who bring and write an offering check and say, I know Jesus is Lord and here's what belongs to you, God. It ought to be the men. You see, if I'm going to walk with God, the character of the walk is I have faith in him. Number two, look at verse number 6. Not only do I have faith in him, but I have faith in the reality of his existence. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say this. Men, women, everybody, we ought to live our life in the reality of God's existence. Think about that. Living our life in the reality of God's existence. I got some questions for you. This week, as I look back over my life, where did I function inside the understanding of the reality and the existence of God? My God, that's a sobering thought. My offering today, was it in the reality of the existence of a living God? My wife, my children, my responsibilities in this church, the pastor, did I live in the reality of his existence? Enoch did, and look what else he lived in. Look at the last part of verse number 6. He lived in the reality of the responsiveness of God. He believed that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You say, Pastor, what does that all mean? That means this, Dad. It means that he taught his son, you can trust God. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? I mean this, that I read, I pray, I give, fellowship, and I live with the understanding that God exists and with the understanding that God will bless me. Now, I sat with a very, very wealthy man this week. I had no idea what God was going to do, but he may even be here today. I don't know if he's here or not. He's not a member of our church, never been inside our church before, but I had some business dealings with him, and I went over to downtown Fort Lauderdale, and I went in the office, just thought I was going to deal with the assistant. The assistant said, Mr. So-and-so would like to see upstairs in his office. I thought, oh, boy. Okay. So I walked down this dark hallway that I was a little bit afraid of, got in this little tiny elevator, which I was very afraid of, and we went up, and it opened up into an office suite. And here sat a man, and he sat down, and he said, he put his arms out over the couch, and he flopped himself down. Almost broken. He said, you're a priest, right? I said, well, I'm a pastor. I'm not a priest. I'm a priest with the Lord, but not the way you think. He says, I'm a wealthy man. I said, I understand that. He said, can I ask you a question? I said, yes, sir. He said, I employ 800 people, but I'm losing my son. He said, my son is extremely wealthy. He says, he's wealthy because I'm wealthy. I put him in private schools and the teachers sell him drugs. He says he walks the streets and he is a target for everybody. I cannot keep my son. He said, can you help me? I said, sir, I believe I can help you with the word of God. I said, you give me two things that'll help a boy. You give me a godly dad and you give me a godly church and you'll get your boy. He said, can I come to your church? I said, sure. He said, you need to understand something. I'm Muslim. I said, that's okay. I said, are you practicing or are you just by tradition? He said, we don't practice. We're just by tradition. I said, you come and hear how Jesus Christ will redeem your life, redeem your boy, and you can learn to walk with God, and I promise you God will give you your son. He said, I'll be there. Let me tell you something. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. We need dads that are born again, that know how to walk with God in the reality of his existence and in the full knowledge that he responds to us. Because, yeah, my kid may need $100 and I may give him $100, or they may need something and I give it to them. And yeah, there's a bond there, but when God answers my faith and moves all the power of heaven, that impacts my son. That impacts our youth. That changes the direction that we're headed. And we will get them. I'm not going to give you the culmination of his walk. I'll give it to you later, but I'll conclude. Did you know that Enoch's name, part of his name, means to train? To train. It means to train. You study this. A man helped me with this. It is fantastic. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, Enoch's name carries with it the very same direction as those words to train. Interesting. Enoch birthed the oldest living son known of man, Methuselah. For 969 years, Methuselah never departed from the truth. Why? Because he was trained. Because he was trained. Now, train up a child in the way he should go, dad, grandpa, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart. You see, all the time people say, well, I trained my kid up right, and they're going to come back. You didn't train them right. To say that is to say I don't believe the Bible. To say that is to say that God's a liar. We would never say that. But the Bible says if we train them right, they don't depart, period. They don't go away and come back. They don't depart. So I must not have trained them right. And you say, well, Pastor, train them up in the way they should go. Well, the way's not in my thinking. The way's not in my understanding. The way's not in my tradition. The way's not like my dad used to do it. The way's not according to the law. The way is according to the book. Amen? Amen. So dad, father, grandfather, we get in the book and we learn what it is. To go in the way. Enoch knew what it was because he walked with God. And even though the book wasn't written then, there was communication between God and him, and there was God's word coming to him, and he was able to train a 969-year-old son that brought nothing but honor and glory to God. Have you seen Enoch? He walked with God. It was commenced by the spiritual birth of his heart. It was moved by the faith that God exists, and it moves by the faith of the hand of God. And he trained his son in the way he should go, and it impacted that boy. That's what we need today in our churches. Mom, there's application for us too. Us, I'm not a mother. For you too. Grandpa, grandma, those of you that are trying to be fathers, it's the word of God. It's the power of God. You say, Pastor, I'm down the road, long way. My kids are already grown. I've already made mistakes. May I introduce you to the mercy of God? Can I introduce you to the omnipotence of God? Can I introduce you to the love of God who will reach down and immediately take control if you allow him to? Enoch walked with God. Fantastic. Amen. Let's pray.